congratulations. You're getting close to rounding out this U.S. tour. How's it been going?
It's been going great. Thank you very much. Yeah.
It's fun.
We just did Lincoln Center and then Princeton. So, and now we're driving to Boston to do Jordan Hall.
Yeah, that's a lovely place. And then you're coming to our neck of the woods for the Palladium.
Exactly. In Carmel, Indiana.
And this program's changed up a little bit. I know you did a new Sam Adams piece and have done lovely...
Sam Adams piece that was a co-commission with Stanford University in Palo Alto and the Australian Chamber Orchestra, which we premiered last year in Australia. So it was great to have the opportunity to play it, to play it around the States.
Is new music important to share on these programs?
Oh, look, I think it's an imperative. The only reason that we're not playing it in certain places is the presenters, don't want it or it doesn't fit their program. But yeah, we'd be playing new music all the time, absolutely. Because it's not just a matter of playing, first offs. It's a matter of playing, instead of... instead of saying world premiere, they should actually say second performance of, which means that the world premiere actually went really well.
No doubt. I know you had a couple of pianists on this tour. Is it fun? Do the pieces feel different?
Yes, quite different. Quite different. I mean, there's, just the way pianists' fingers fall on the keys creates a different effect. Some are bony, some are fatter, I suppose, but also the way the neural pathways work and people's, responses to the score and the way, they imbibe the scores. The score's markings and whether you adhere to the markings and lots of different things. So we've got Paul Lewis and and Barnacan.
Yeah.
Both of them are, so-called modern pianists. Of course, Mozart wrote it for a vastly different piece of hardware to the grand, massive black Steinway that you hear in most concert programs these days. Really interesting to listen to and become acquainted with the piano that Mozart had access to. Do they carry in a large concert hall? No, not as well. And so that's why people, take the safe route.
You're doing one of the late great Beethoven quartets, including the Grosse Fugue.
Yeah.
And that's
yes, we are.
And it's almost as modern sounding as Sam Adams.
It is as modern sounding as Sam Adams. Not the first few movements, but the Grosse Fugue, I assume, is what you're talking about. It will always sound modern. It will always sound jarring. It will always sound as though you're astral traveling. It will always be perplexing. It will always be long, but then once it's finished, you wish it could have gone on longer. And also, once it's finished, you want to hear it again and again and again. And we play it a lot. And every time there's something in it that you didn't notice the time before or the previous times. And it's not just sort of a mindless, complex fantasy. It's an extraordinarily well-structured work as well. And as being a crazy fantasy. I mean, when you're listening to it for the first time, it just feels like it's insane kind of fantastical music. The more you study it, the more you realize how amazing the engine is being put together. And on another program, we have the Bach Art of the Fugue to start the program. So there's a nice bow you can... draw from the Art of the Fugue letter to the Grosse Fugue, which arguably is the last great fugue written by humankind.
Yeah, and it's still being, both of these are being played hundreds of years after they were written, and I will probably be playing 100 years later.
Well, if we're here in 100 years.
Yeah, yeah, let's...
floating around the world, honey.
Is it nice to be in different places across the way? Because you guys have been in Arizona, you just are leaving New York, and Boston coming up. Is it nice to see all these places in the U.S.?
Oh, we've been traveling through the U.S. since the early 90s. We've seen extraordinary places from Fairbanks, Alaska, through, you know, many places in Florida. So that's a west to east crossways, which is pretty extraordinary. We've been to a lot of the contiguous United States. I've of course been to Hawaii because I'm a surfer. It's amazing. And you know, America isn't just LA, San Francisco, and New York. And you only realize that once you travel. I mean, one of the most surprising places was for us was actually Lincoln, Nebraska, on Route 66, if I'm correct, and had great secondhand clothes shops. And we used to play a lot in Iowa City, where there was a wonderful promoter, entrepreneur called Wally Chappell, who got Brett Dean, who's bringing his Hamlet to the Met next year, and the Australian Chamber Orchestra and Bang on a Can All Stars. I think that was in the year 2000, got us together as a collaboration. You know, and that's in Iowa City. So, yeah, there are amazing, wonderful places in the States that we wouldn't otherwise travel to as tourists.
Well, I guess I'd end asking, are there any guilty pleasures, any meals you've sought out, burgers, pizza, any American cuisine you've just had to not live without and get it while you're here?
Good question. Not really. No, nothing in particular, but there have been some good, you know, surprisingly good meals that I've stumbled across, but I can't even remember the names of the restaurants. I'm sorry to tell your listeners. The Nomad Hotel in New York, that was a fantastic meal.
All right. Well, we can't wait to see you tomorrow night and hope you have a lovely time in Boston today. And so glad to have a few minutes while you're here in the U.S.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, John. Very nice of me to have this interview.